Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
So everybody here?
Yep.
All right. How'd you guys like the results?
I say there was cheating.
Stellar.
I want a recount. I'm
Okay.
down a shot now.
You're down a shot?
Yeah, I told Mel if I get a higher percentage, like whoever gets the higher percentage gets a shot from the other one. So now I have to buy Mel a shot.
Oh, you mean like an alcohol
He has to
shot?
buy Mel two shots.
Hey, I'm gonna win the CPQ.
We can have a shot just for fun.
Yeah, come through.
Wait, I want to point out something. So this is just like a general idea and warning, and just something that you guys will see is that in these transcripts, generally there are a ton of minor, I guess, errors in the writing and like in the way that things are split up with therapist and patient and timing. And you kind of, you know how you're like, we're all smart enough to kind of like mentally change those edits in our minds. You could do all you want emailing us about the edits, but I'm just letting you know you're in for like an awakening of how many edits you're going to see in other transcripts.
Yeah,
This
that's
is
what I
important.
was thinking too, Jeremy.
Jeremy, you're not wrong. Just be prepared that that's
Yeah.
uncommon.
Exactly. Just like so your expectations are slightly lower.
Well, now are you referring to the current project, or are you talking about the sample transcripts that they're coding now as trainees, or
I'm talking about the
both?
current project, and I'm
Okay.
sure the sample that they're coding now is trainees as well. Because like you guys all did over the summer, the or in the beginning, or you're still doing, these transcripts of course have errors. They're not going to be perfect 100% of the time, so just be prepared to know how to like differentiate. Like I said, we're all smart enough to know how to like differentiate like who's speaking and
You have a lot of faith in
I do. You're right. I do. But
me.
I'm telling you, the faith is warranted because you're a smart guy.
But also you're implicating them because they're the ones responsible for doing the transcriptions.
But this has always been the case. I'm not just saying that.
No,
I've been doing
I know.
it.
I'm
I'll have
kidding.
you know, I never make mistakes. I'm perfect 100% of
Wow.
the time.
Wow. I believe your current queue sorting
That's
leads
not
you to otherwise.
Ouch. Hey, he got over 70. He got over 70. I think the trainees are doing fabulous. They're
Who are
rocking
you calling a trainee? No, I'm kidding.
it. Trainees on the PQS, how about that? We know you're a veteran of other wars.
Submitted two different things because it was both 0.77. I was like, wait, that is weird. And then I checked and obviously like all the items were different, but
Yeah, believe me, I checked that myself. It just so happened, sometimes coincidences like that happen. So I don't know if you guys had a chance to look. I'm talking to trainees now. You guys had a chance to look at the distributions, but there are only two standard deviations that are over 2.0, which is like fabulous. So we'll certainly talk about those two. And I'm perfectly content with, ending the meeting a little early.
Does that mean I get to ask you questions about my
Oh my
dissertation?
gosh. Oh, I just thought, actually, we do have to talk about other items.
Oh my God.
Got him.
Right. She
Maximize
thinks I'm a captive audience here.
the time.
So let me share my screen. Just a minute. Are you seeing that? Okay, so we look here. As you can see, the standard deviations are only two that are over two, item 100 and item 45. So let's get to it, unless we have other business to talk about. So item 100 is, let's see. Therapist draws connections between the therapeutic relationship and other relationships. This is the one of the transference items. And the experts put it in pile 6. So kind of a neutral pile, neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic, maybe slightly characteristic. Holly put in 7, that's great. Jeremy put in 2, that's low. That's 4 points low. And then we have Mel is in 4, that's fine. And Anthony's in 7, that's fine. So it's Jeremy on this one.
How convenient, Jeremy.
So your feeling was that the therapist that included no or few attempts to link interpersonal aspects of therapy with experiences in other relationships. I know it's kind of hard to prove the negative, but give it a shot.
I want to say that the patient gave opportunities for them to talk about it. Let's see what I do. So for me, it was more missed opportunities where the patient was talking about relationships with the brother and also asking about, I mean, not brother, Danny. And the therapist wouldn't really interpret it. But then, yeah, I don't know if there's one. What are some examples that you guys, did you see any examples for interpretations?
Well, not necessarily interpretations, just making links between interpersonal relationships and the therapeutic relationship. Anybody have any examples of that? I can search if there's a word that you want me to find.
Yeah. I think one of your peers made a comment of you today in the community, meaning that if you let it out a little at a time, it won't be so overwhelming as if you put that dash, dash, dash. There was one instance of where he asked if it was about his relationship, the therapist's relationship.
It's actually a she in this one.
Her relationship.
I have 2 examples here. This is in the middle. Patient, yeah. And I almost would look for someone to tell me what to do. But being me, I would probably turn around and do the opposite. Therapist, I wonder if that relates to our sessions. Patient. But how so, therapist? Well, you mentioned you asked why. You've asked why. Don't I tell you? Patient, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
And there's, towards the end, I saw patient, because I feel like I need to know. I feel like I need to start, and I don't know how to do it. That's me enough being an extremist. I either feel it all or I feel none of it. Therapist. Did this session fit into that statement? Feeling lonely? Feeling nothing? Patient, no, I felt a little bit in this session. Towards the beginning, as I went on, started feeling less. Therapist, what happened? They talk about that more.
Convinced, Jeremy?
Yeah. about the this item's more about transference, right?
Yeah, I mean it's one of the transference items in the deck of items. Whenever you're making links between what goes on outside and what goes on inside the session, that's in the transference realm. And it doesn't have to hit you over the head. It can be kind of subtle.
I think the subtlety is what made me not think it was like a missed opportunity rather than like overt.
Right.
Yeah, that's helpful for me too. Because I was thinking like it had to be like a concrete something with the mother, and now you're treating me like maybe your mother treats you, but this seems a lot more subtle.
Yeah. I think Anthony is right to identify that as falling within the rubric of this item. You want to read it again, Anthony?
Yeah, please.
The former or the latter, or both?
Both.
I'm on the second one, so. Patient, yeah, and I almost would look for someone to tell me what to do, but being me, I would probably turn around and do the opposite. Therapist, I wonder if that relates to our sessions. Patient, but how so? Therapist, well, you mentioned, you've asked why, don't I tell you? Patient, yeah. Actually, I was thinking about Dr. Y when I said that. Therapist, and what you said this morning in your community meeting, which is that now that you know these things, your inclination is to do just the opposite. So I'll stop there. I think that was related to therapist's observations of patient in session.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, I see. Because it's saying, like, the patient's saying, I do opposite of what's told, and the therapist is like, yeah, I tell you things, and you even admitted to doing the opposite.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that definitely counts. And what was the previous example, Anthony?
Yeah. So patient, because I feel like I need to know. I feel like I need to start, and I don't know how to do it. That's me though, being an extremist. I either feel it all or feel none of it. Therapist, did this session fit into that statement? Feeling lonely, feeling nothing. Patient, no, I felt a little bit in the session towards the beginning, and as I went on, I started feeling less. Therapist, what happened? So I guess that's just them commenting on the patient's demeanor in session, which I, you know, could be argued as having to do with their relationship together.
Yeah.
So this is what confused me, because in the wording of characteristic versus uncharacteristic, it says that characteristic has several or few salient comments linking the patient's feelings, while uncharacteristic has no or few attempts to link interpersonal aspects. So then what would constitute a low rating? Because wouldn't subtlety equal salience?
Well, yes, that factors into it, but I think a low rating would be if the patient is talking all about interpersonal relationships and the ups and downs of them and how she feels about them, and the therapist never once relates it to what's going on in the session.
Okay.
I mean, I think any rating between 4 and 6 works for me.
I could definitely bring it up to a 4.
Okay. That works. That's where Mel had it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine. So let's talk about 45. 45, the standard deviation was 2.13. The experts had it in 6.5, which means there was some discrepancy between the two of them. Maybe one had it in 6 and the other had it in 7. Holly had it in 6, which is right there. Jeremy had it in 2, which is low. And Mel had it in 4, which is a little low. And Anthony had it in 2, which is also low. So this has a little bit more interest going on here among the group. So
go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I didn't think this was, like, extreme, so that's why I placed it in 6, because there was evidence, but not, like, extreme evidence. So, like, a piece of evidence, for example, is when the therapist said, you know, I believe it when you say you're not you're not certain what it is, but I guess I'd like to tell you that that's what psychotherapy is about. I mean, if you came in knowing the answers, there would be no reason to be here. So, like, that's when the therapist is like, I know something. I mean, the patient's like, I know something's going on. I don't know what it is. So the therapist kind of adopts the supportive stance, is like, okay, but you don't know, you don't need to know what it is. And that's what psychotherapy is for. So it's not like wildly supportive, but it's
yeah, I would call it more psychoeducation. I don't know if there's, I mean, there's another item called therapist assumes a didactic stance. I don't know the exact wording of it. Maybe somebody else knows the wording better than I do. So that, I think what you're suggesting, Holly, would fall more into the didactics teaching. This is what therapy is. This is what therapy isn't.
Yeah, I think it's like therapist speaks in a didactic teacher-like manner.
Yes.
Right.
So I think what you're suggesting, Holly, would fall more under that category or that item. This is more like being a cheerleader, like advocating for the patient, like being giving encouragement. You know, emphasizing strengths. Your example, Holly, didn't emphasize strengths. It merely was more instructional.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
We tend to call it psycho-ed.
Right. I mean, I feel like there was something else. Sorry. So this is actually what I was going to ask about also. So I still would place it as a neutral item, but like there was a part where, so what if the therapist makes like an effort to make the patient feel comfortable? Like, is that a way that the therapist can adopt the supportive stance? Like there was a part in the transcript where the therapist asked, are you cold? And then the patient said, no, are you? And then the patient said, I'm comfortable. And then opened a window. So is that, or like closed a window?
It's a different item too. I think it's like patient. Oh, there it is.
Is that it?
No. No.
Not a relationship.
That's close to it.
I know what you're talking about.
Give me a word. Give me a word.
Comfort.
Behavior.
No.
Behavior?
I'm trying to look through the items here.
Which one are we looking for again?
We're looking for like one. So when a patient is cold and the therapist says like, oh, should I turn on the heat or do you want to like switch rooms or whatever? We would rate this one, that this item that we're talking about, high, because it's like they're comforting kind of the patient. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
I didn't know that there was an item for this.
There's like, there's one being supportive, and then there's one being, hold on, I think I put it, let me check real quick.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Now what we're talking about?
What?
I said, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, let me look at that.
I'm stumped. I can't think of it.
I could be wrong. I don't know. I'll look through it, but I'm pretty sure that there's a separate item.
There are two that I sometimes confuse. I'll look too. I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
There's, yeah, are you talking about, no. Hold on.
Item 47,
and
I say comedy.
Oh.
Well, that's the one I picked out, and Taylor said that wasn't it.
Oh, yeah, that's not it. I think that's the more of the one, like, yeah. I'll keep looking. Sorry, guys. I could just be imagining something.
So, where are we with this session? Did the therapist adopt a supportive stance? Was it neutral? Where are we putting this?
I mean, I thought 6 was good, but I could be wrong.
You what? Holly? You're muted.
No, I said that I thought 6 was good.
Okay.
I agree about the neutral part. I put it, I think, at 4 because I think I felt like the therapist was more so like trying to get the, like, never said anything like, well, you could do it, you've done it before, but instead it was like trying to get the patient to like give more information. So I leaned it more towards uncharacteristic.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think there's a single example in the text in which the therapist is like directly reassuring or encouraging the patient. It's all like exploring feelings and trying to gain a deeper understanding together. So I had it at 2, but I mean I could see it being neutral, but it doesn't seem like the therapist is supportive.
I just don't see justification for a 4 over 6. Like, I would do a 5, but I don't think that it leans neutral to uncharacteristic. Like, if anything, I would put neutral to characteristic because of the questionable nature of like I thought those things like aren't really supportive, but I thought that they could be argued for being supportive, like 6 over 5, but I would probably put it into a 5.
Well, can you give an example, Holly, of where the therapist was supportive?
Yeah, so like I said, like the two things that I said that aren't considered supportive, like opening the window and like asking if the patient is comfortable, and then saying like, you don't have to know the answers, like that's what therapy is for. Like, I understand that that's not outwardly supportive and that wouldn't be. But
no, actually, give me the second example. That I think you have some leg to stand on.
When I was saying before in the transcript, the patient said that there's no, like, I don't know, I don't know what it is, I don't know, like, the answers or whatever, and the therapist said, like, well, you don't have to know, that's what psychotherapy is for. So that's kind of what I constituted as support. Like, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't, like, extremely supportive, but I just, that's why I would take a 6 over a 4.
I think I found one for you, Holly. No, put it,
yeah, that's,
two.
It's slightly supportive, I guess. It's reassuring in a sense, like it's okay not, basically the therapist is saying it's okay not to know the answers, which is a form of support.
What about this one? It says, this is towards the end where a patient says, now I know there's something wrong with that, but I don't know exactly what, and the therapist says, there's something wrong with that, and then the patient says, yeah, and then the therapist says, what do you see? So kind of questioning her why.
Is this it?
Use it as one. Oh, we can't.
Now I know there's something wrong with that, but I don't know exactly what. There's something wrong with that? Yeah, why do you say that? That's not supportive. It's just asking, it's exploring. Why do you say that? Mm-hmm. It's not saying there's nothing wrong with that. Just the therapist is asking more about the patient's point of view, but the therapist stops short of saying there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
So I wouldn't count that.
A for effort, Jeremy.
But I think Holly's example is just slightly supportive. So what do we think?
I suppose, I mean, I'm okay with neutral.
Okay, Jeremy?
Same.
All right, good. Let's do one more just for the hell of it. 17.
Really doesn't want to talk about dissertations.
What's that?
I'm saying you really don't want to talk about dissertations.
You're damn straight I don't.
Oh my god.
How's that for a dissertation mentor? Says, I don't want to talk about your dissertation. Get out of here with that. Therapist actively exerts control over the interaction, structuring, introducing new topics. Interrupting, intervening to ask questions, making points, a lot of direction, or uncharacteristic, therapist intervenes relatively infrequently. Little effort to structure the interaction. Therapist tends to follow the lead of the patient, allowing patient to introduce main topics and helping patient to follow his or her train of thought. This is a theoretical orientation question. So if you're CBT, where would you put this item?
Characteristic.
Yes. And if you're PDT, where would you put this item?
Uncharacteristic.
Right. Right. So just an interesting fact about this particular item really says a lot about your theoretical orientation. Also, if you're humanistic, you'd also put it in uncharacteristic. So we have pile 6 for the experts. The gold standard is 6. Holly in 2, Jeremy in 1. Wow. All right. And we've got Mel in 2 and Anthony in 2. So everybody was reliable with each other, not reliable with the gold standard. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it could be. It could be. I don't. It could be. I don't know. But what do you guys think about this item with regard to the session? How did you feel the therapist behaved in the session?
All the therapist did was ask inquisitive questions, so it's not like he was introducing topics or anything like that. He wasn't even trying to reframe that much.
I will say this. Whenever you ask a question, you are exerting some control over the session. My supervisees on this call will verify that, namely Brian. when you ask a question, you're basically, you're funneling the patient's attention into one channel. So if there are a lot of questions being asked, I would say that's exerting some control, and I would say it would be in a middle pile. No, you know, it's not, here's your homework assignment, let's go over your homework from last week, why are you resistant to doing your homework, was the homework too hard, you know, that's very structuring, and that's what CBT is all about. Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a CBT therapist. But asking a lot of questions also has a subtle impact on the direction of the session. The person in charge is the question asker.
Question about that. So if the patient brings their own topic and their own conversation into the session, and then let's say the therapist is really asking questions to facilitate the patient like getting deeper in touch with like their feelings, would you say that they're exerting control or no? Because it's the patient's sort of like ideas, and the therapist just wants the patient to go like really connect with that.
I would say no, just really quickly, because that'd be more like patient, like therapist asks for more elaboration. That item.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but that's how I.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor, you're right about that, But I do think there's some overlap between these two items. There's not no overlap between the two items. If we were to do a correlation between this item and that item that you're talking about over all the Q sorts I've ever collected, I would imagine there would be a correlation of maybe 0.3 between these two items. Just because I think asking a lot of questions is exerting some control. I mean, Mel asked a question and now we're still talking about these items, but we're talking about a particular facet about these items. We're talking about this item now in relation to another item. We never would have gone down that avenue before if Mel hadn't asked that question. So I'm trying to use a meta example here.
Yeah, mind blowing. I mean, I see what you're saying. I agree with that. And at the same time, like, but the questions, I don't know if other people felt differently, but like the questions I felt like didn't direct to the interaction so much. Like the patient still directed, like answered the questions, but then went somewhere else with the conversation. So like, I thought the patient had like a directing influence on the session. Like, would it maybe say like yes or no to a question, but then, for example, like the therapist said, walking away from him, and the patient said, yeah, and in a sense, I'm angry because X, Y, and Z, but like it wasn't because of the question. So I don't know. Like, I think that.
I think he directed in the way the patient wanted.
You know, I'm looking at the T's. The T dialogue here, and therapist asked an awful lot of questions. There's a lot of questioning, more than I feel comfortable with when I'm doing my own therapy, I'll just tell you that. I try to get my patients to ask a minimum amount of questions. I mean, Brian, you can chime in here.
I mean, yeah, there's times where, like, you know, if you're just sitting in session in silence instead of asking a question, you are not exerting control over the interaction. And that's part of the way I view it. Because, like, you could do nothing. You could also reflect or validate. Like, there are things that you can do that don't necessarily influence what they're talking about, but a question would influence. And in that way, it's control. I wouldn't say it's a lot of control, but I think it's more than, like, none.
Yeah. So I do think a middle pile might be more apt for this item. So I would go more with the gold standard than with you guys. I'm sorry. The gold standard is not always what?
Et tu, Brute?
Then fall Jeff. Or fall Jeremy. You know, I mean, the gold standard has been wrong. I think, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? I mean, there were a number of ones that Holly brought up, and she was very convincing that particular week, and I think the gold standard was off.
Thanks for the shout-out.
What?
Thanks for the shout-out.
No, I mean, honestly, but that this one, I think there's some merit to putting this item in a middle pile, given what I've seen about this transcript, having just scanned it over the last few minutes and seeing so many questions and knowing what I do about question asking and how that is very directive in some ways. So just something to keep in mind as we move forward with coding. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I'm recording these so you can go to the website and listen back to previous, labs where we did training.
Also, if there's anything specific that you want me to add to the code book, I haven't really updated it because I was more just discussion based. But if there's something you think would be valuable in the code book, I could also do that.
Yes, that's a good idea. Amanda had created this nice code book. I don't know whether you guys actually use it or not, but it's there for you. I sent it out earlier in the semester. So anyway, I just I think we did a nice job this week, and now we're just mostly fine tuning. I had a discussion with Brian earlier today, and we both agreed that you guys are doing so well that we're considering ending the training early. So what we're going to do is I've sent out the transcript for next week, and if everybody gets over 70, we'll end the training, and I'll consider you all certified. So that's the good news. So, but it's contingent upon how you do on this next transcript. If one person gets below 70, we'll just keep going with the training.
No pressure.
And no shaming of that person or persons.
That person buys pizza for the rest of the
life. Right.
Okay, but sometimes the reliability number is wrong. Like that week that I was like, correcting the items, but I was the lowest in reliability.
No, I know, but it's all we've got, right? It's all I've got to be able to assess people's reliability. So it's the best we've got. Short of me, you know, coding all the transcripts myself and then using myself as the gold standard, I actually prefer two people doing it and then taking the mean. I think that's a better way. So I just wanted to get an update from Anthony how the transcribing is coming along and where we're at with that. If you have any insights.
My dog is barking right here. Apologies if that's too loud.
No, it's all right.
But I haven't checked in on other people's transcripts thus far. I think we should be wrapped up.
Well, maybe we can just go around. Holly, how many do you have left?
Zero. I
oh, you're done. Mel?
I can check, but I still definitely have a few I gotta work on.
Okay. Jeremy?
Same with me.
A few left. And Anthony?
Yeah, I finished all mine.
Okay, so just Mel and Jeremy have a few left. All right. So, you guys can wrap it up pretty soon?
Would it be possible if I can do it over break?
Sure. Cool. Mel, what about you?
Yeah, that would be helpful for me too.
Okay. All right. I know you guys are heading into the home stretch. Of course, you don't have my class to worry about anymore, but I know you have other classes.
I still have to do my presentation for your class.
Well, that's so true. Okay. That's true. Okay. But, you know, you're a good speaker, so
yeah.
That'll be fine. And then you guys both turned in your CCQs?
Not yet.
Oh, no, I got to do that as well.
Okay.
I will get the two by Sunday.
Okay. All right, good.
I want to make sure it's perfect, so that way Mel has to buy me a shot.
I think
when you said pizza, I'd rather have pizza.
you're both going to be drunk by the end of the semester.
So, Dr. Goodman, so... when is the absolute deadline for finishing all the transcripts? We can really over the break finish anything that we still have left. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna be okay with that. Sure.
Okay.
As long as you get it to me, you know, by January 15th.
All right.
Perfect. How about that?
Do we meet over the break as well?
No, we're not gonna meet over the break, and I will be on sabbatical, but. I am going to continue the labs, so we'll continue that, but no, the break is your break, but you can catch up on these transcripts during that time.
Yeah, thank you. That's helpful.
All right, and we won't do any Q sorting either on over the break. So probably when we come back in January, it'll be the first week of the semester. I don't remember what that date is exactly, but it's the Tuesday after Martin Luther King Day, usually.
It changed. It's February 1st now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Brian is right about that. So then that means that we won't be starting until the February 4th will be our first day back. So, if you can have those back, have those done by middle, late January, that would be great.
All right, no problem.
Okay, and then we'll start up again on February 4th. Probably we'll do another practice just because there will be a layoff. So our last lab will be the 17th, I think. Yes. Our last lab is this 2 weeks from today. And so you'll have a layoff from December 17th to February 4th. And from my experience, people tend to get a little rusty. So everybody will do a practice, I think, on February 4th. It'll be assigned on the 4th, and then it'll be due, you know, for the 11th. And then if everybody's doing pretty well, we'll just go in and start Q-sorting. And then everybody will be part of the same group of doing, you know, Q-sorting the current project sample, which is a totally different sample, by the way. So sometimes it can be kind of a rude awakening to switch samples, because right now you're used to this type of patient, this type of therapist, but it's gonna change.
It's gonna change into what we were transcribing, and then
yes, correct, okay. Correct.
All right.
So you guys, you're doing the transcribing that you're actually going to be coding, right? So you are familiar with the differences between what you're coding now and what you will be coding. But the point is that you will not have you have not had any experience up until now coding the transcripts that you're currently transcribing. You know what I mean? And it'll be a different experience for you, and you'll probably get used to slightly different items that you maybe usually put in the middle pile and don't even think about. And maybe you'll be using those items now more frequently in the left or right sides of the distribution. So, you know, those kinds of differences. And usually what that means is that reliability is low in the beginning, and then it steadily improves. So that's what we're looking forward to. Brian did submit the abstract for APA. So we have that in the bag, and I'm almost certain that will be accepted. But Brian, maybe you could speak to whether, I don't think there is any further coding, but maybe you could speak to that briefly.
I don't think so. Everything should be in the data sheet already or previously coded. We have the attachment data, and we have the mental representations coded from, you know, the other project that we were doing.
Right.
So we should be all set, minus some lit review and some calculations.
Do you want to...
My dog just pooped on me.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, all over my lap right now. I can't believe...
Bad dog. Bad dog. Bad dog.
I was just thinking of the cutest dog. Like, that was, like, my thought. I was like, oh, my God, look at Taylor's dog.
She's really cute. I literally have shit on my lap. So, do you mind if I leave?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. That's no problem.
Smells so bad. Bye, guys.
Bye, Taylor. Anthony, watch out. You're next.
My dog is well trained.
Okay. So, Brian, maybe you, I don't know if you want to do this now or think about it, but maybe you want to assign people to work on lit review stuff?
Well, if anyone want to help, I'll ask first. Helping will probably get your name higher on the poster.
Get your name higher on the poster.
Probably will. So, if anyone wants to help, you can let me know now. You can let me know an email.
Brian, maybe you could email the group, because, you know, Palak and Eli aren't on this. And Taylor's now not on this, so...
I'll email the group, too, but just a heads up, what we're looking for is a lot of attachment research, attachment specifically towards bullying, and anything you can find on mental representations or views of parents or the self in regards to bullying.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't... You know, one of the advantages of volunteering for this is that I don't think you're going to find a whole lot. So there's not going to be much to collect, which is a good thing for us, because that means it's novel. It's a new idea, and so I think it's going to attract a lot of interest at the convention, at the poster session, and maybe even it'll turn into another paper. Who knows?
Who knows? I'm hoping. Yeah, but... My one concern, though, is that there's not a huge amount of attachment data just looking at it. Like, there's a lot of blank stuff. So I don't know if we'll have significant data, but we have it, so we might as well try it.
Yeah, and I have the latest edition of the Handbook of Attachment, and I haven't even looked at that yet, but that often has a lot of clues about what's out there.
Yeah.
So it's only 2 or 3 years old, so I'll take a look at that too.
I also have access to Stony Brook's databases.
Nice.
So I can help with that.
They're a lot more robust, shall I say, than LIU's resources.
Yep, that's how I get all my papers, my articles for my papers.
Nice. I'm surprised you haven't had classmates bugging you.
No, now that I know.
Yeah, just give me.
All right, anything else? All right, so I'll see you next week. I wish you guys all the best with the finals.
Thank you.
All right. And it's not like I'm not inundated, because now I got to grade all these papers, which often takes a long time. So I'm right there with you. All right? And Holly, you want to stay on?
Oh, yeah, if you don't mind, sure.
No problem. All right, see you guys.
Bye, guys. Okay, so I basically documented, like, all the data and studies involved, and I just want to, like, check in with you to make sure this is correct.
Okay.
So for the first one, I have the Uganda art study, which is still pending because it's a manuscript. And the last I got that from you was the second revision draft from March 23rd. I don't know if it's updated since then.
Yeah, it's significantly updated. It got rejected, so we're revising it. And it's actually on my list of things to do tonight. Read the revision, but I can send you it. It was revised on November 23rd, and I just haven't read it yet. Valita went through it and did a review. It's much shorter now. I can send that to you.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And then also, I just need if you have Donna Tooman's dissertation, because I know it's called. Actually, no, I don't have the title. I, like, had to look up. Oh, Gender Styles as Form and Content. Is that it?
I don't know. You'd have to contact her directly. Okay. I don't have her dissertation. You'd have to ask her. I don't even know if it's in a digital form or not. But okay. You could email her. It's donna.tuman, T-U-M-A-N, @liu.edu.
Okay, thank you. So I'll reach out to her about that. I saw she published it back in 99.
Right. You can copy me on that and just say that I referred you to her, because you want to use her. You should get to know her anyway, because you're going to be using her coding system. So just let her know that you're interested in using her coding system for your dissertation, and that you want to read, you want to read her dissertation. If she has a digital copy, you'd like a copy of it.
Okay. That makes sense. Need a digital copy. Okay, and so I understand, so there's this, these are the other things, components involved. So the drawings from the 45 inpatients from your 2008 study from White Plains.
Right.
So that was 43, but then it was originally 45, but you said two people were excluded because of they were engaging in suicidal only behavior, right?
Okay, but I think for your study, we probably could add those back in.
Yeah, it could be 101. I just wanted to make sure that I had the two students were excluded in that study.
Yeah, you'll have that.
Okay, so I have that 2008 study, and then the 2013 study looked at the 56 non-inpatients.
Right.
And that's the mother borderline features. And then, okay, so this is the question also I had to ask you. So you said that Deborah Chu's dissertation looked at your... So she coded... the videos that you did in 1998 from the attachment story task?
The attachment story completion task, right.
Right, so your 98 study, I looked into it, I think it's called The Relations Between Maternal Behavior and Urban Preschool Children's IWMs of Attachment Security, right?
No, that's That's a study I did in New Jersey. That's a different study.
So which
one? Those are 3 to 5 year olds. Your sample is 5 to 11, 5 to 12, something like that.
Yeah, that's why I was confused, because I was looking at the wrong study.
Yeah.
So when she coded the videos for Mental State Talk, wait, which study and which videos? I just want to make sure.
Okay, so Deb Chu coded the videos for Mental State Talk from your study, the Cornell study. And you have a copy of her dissertation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she looked at videos for the cat transcripts for those
people. Oh, right.
Okay, so here's why I got confused, because when we met, I was like trying so hard to figure this out for hours, because last time we met, I think like there was some confusion, because you told me that like she coded videos from your 1990 study.
No, in 1990, I was on internship.
I know. That's why I thought there was like something that was misconstrued, because I was like, how could these people be from 1990 and the sample doesn't match? And I was like for hours staring at this.
No, I collected the sample from 1995 to 1998.
Okay, you collected the sample that was used for the 2008.
No, 2008 is from my postdoc. Those are African American kids, ages three to five from New Jersey. We went to Newark, New Jersey, and collected those data. That's not the same sample that you're looking at.
Right. So I have nothing to do with your work in 1990.
I don't know what work you're talking about. I was on internship.
Like the sample that I'm talking about with the 101 children, that was collected in like
from 1995 to 1998.
So those children's data was collected 95 to 98.
Right.
Oh, so it was collected in 1995 and 1998, and then it was later used for those studies.
Yes.
Oh. So if I'm talking about like when, do I have to talk about like when the data was
initially,
to talk about that.
No.
Okay.
I'm so just giving you that information because you're asking me, but that's not important.
Okay. So the only thing that I really have to focus on is the sample, like the 2008 study, because it talks about.
No, not the 2008 study. If you're talking about the study with. In which I talk about internal working models and these moms, that's not the same. That's a study from Newark, New Jersey. I'm pretty sure. Just check the sample size.
I'm talking about ADHD and aggression as correlates of suicidal behavior.
Okay, that is your sample, right. Yes.
Right, so I should be focusing on that because that's my sample.
Yeah.
And then the other part of my sample, which is mother's borderline features, and then Deb Chu's dissertation, which codes the video. She was the one to administer the cat.
Yeah, the children's apperception test.
Yeah,
she didn't administer it. She coded it. I administered it.
Right. I'm sorry. You administered the cat, and then she coded the test for Mental State Talk.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so just
and let me just finish here. The attachment story completion task has also been coded for attachment, but not for Mental State Talk. I don't think we have that, but we do have it for attachment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the way the mentalization data that we have, is that solely based on Deb Chu's dissertation?
Yes. I have not done anything with those data since she coded them.
Gotcha.
And nothing's ever been done with the drawings.
Perfect. Okay, good.
So you have three sources of data here. You have the attachment story completion task attachment data. So those are attachment classifications that we have on every child. You have the CAT, mental state talk data, and you have the drawings, which have yet to be coded. Perfect. I think those are your three sources of data. The attachment story completion task data, I don't believe were ever coded for mental state talk, but they could be, but they have not been.
Okay, perfect, thank you. So the attachment story completion task, that data, I could just review that data because it's in Deb Chu's dissertation as well, right?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Actually, no, I don't think it is because she didn't mention attachment in her.
Yeah, so I don't think it is. It certainly would be in the 2013 article.
Yeah.
What I can do is I can send you every paper that's ever been published on that sample. Would that help?
Awesome. Yes, thank you.
And what did I ask? Did I promise you another paper?
Yeah, you said also the Uganda updated revision that was
right.
Rejected.
Okay.
So that, and then I'm going to email Donna Tooman to talk about, to ask for her dissertation.
Okay.
And then I'm going to put that in my literature review. Okay. So then that's the only time it's been used, it's been published in its earlier form was with Donna Tooman, the coding system.
Well, it's never been published. Her dissertation was not published.
Oh, it wasn't published.
No.
Oh, I see.
Dissertations are almost never published. You publish articles from dissertations,
okay.
But you never publish the dissertation, or very seldom do you do that. Like my dissertation, I published two papers out of it, but it wasn't the dissertation, it was two separate papers that came out of it.
Okay, that makes sense. And then we said that nothing was ever done with the drawings, right?
Right. You're the first.
Okay. That clears up a lot. Thank you. I was like so confused from your 98 study.
Yeah, I don't know anything about 1990. I was an intern at Columbia Presbyterian.
Okay. So I think I have everything I wanted to ask. And so all of that, like all the studies and stuff involved, I would find a way to incorporate that in my method section when I get there, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So thank you. So once I have like a substantial literature review, I guess I'll like, I don't, it's not pressing. So like, I'll wait until whenever you're free to like send it.
Yeah. Don't you have finals to work on? What the hell?
I have finals, but like, it's just that I kind of already made review sheets for it and it's only John Neal's classes and everyone's like failing his classes.
Yeah, I was in the DTC meeting today, so I've heard all about it.
Oh my God, it's so bad, Jeff. Like I don't know my grades yet because he hasn't told me any grades, like except for maybe two quiz grades, but I don't know any of my grades because he won't put any of them up. But he's basically failing like so many people.
Yeah, I would say, you know, that's what student evaluations are for.
I know, I did them, and I think a lot of people did them.
Okay, that's good.
So yeah, I hope something happens, but I know that Lene might teach the CCE class, but people are worried that John's going to teach it, and I was like, he can't teach. Oh,
no.
Not the CCE, the group psychotherapy class, and people are worried that like he's going to teach it, and I'm like, he's not, he's an experimental psychologist. He doesn't give
therapy. It's not, we wouldn't have a professor teach a course that they don't have competency in.
I know, I told them, but they're
he's not competent to teach group psychotherapy. So
right.
If he teaches something outside his scope of practice, he could be, censured by the APA.
Yeah, maybe they'll believe you.
And we could lose accreditation because we're giving courses to professors who have no competency in that particular area. It wouldn't happen. He's not even a licensed psychologist.
Yeah, he doesn't give therapy, right?
No. Not that I'm aware of. I don't think he does.
Yeah.
His area of research is like autism, and
Yeah, autism. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So.
And, like, did some stuff on seizures, but he mostly did like intellectual disabilities.
Right.
And autism.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. How do you know that?
Well, I mean, he's a colleague, right? I mean, he's not in our program, but he's part of our department, so I know him that way.
Oh, okay. And then, okay, one more thing that I just realized.
Yeah.
In my dissertation, I'm allowed to, like, talk about unpublished work, right?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I have to mention the Uganda study.
Yeah, and you have to mention Donna's dissertation.
Yeah, right, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, that clears a lot up. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's it. So I'm going to email Donna shortly, so I'll copy you to it.
All right. How's Con Man?
Oh, yeah, that's not a thing.
I'm just kidding. How's your brother? Has he had you back on the show?
Not yet.
Oh, my gosh.
He's doing really well. He's applying to law jobs right now.
Okay.
But he should have me back on the show. I totally agree.
Absolutely. So he's finishing up Harvard? Law?
Not Harvard, Georgetown.
Georgetown. He's finishing up?
He has one more year.
Okay.
He's doing good, though. He's just, like, kind of stressed with finals, so he's kind of disappeared from the face of the earth. But
yeah.
Other than that, he's doing pretty good. And everything's good besides John Neal right now.
I hear you. All right. So I'll see you next week.
Everything good with you?
Things are great.
Okay. Good to hear.
All right.
Your help, Jeff.
Yeah, sure. All right, bye-bye.
Talk to you soon, bye.
All right, you too, bye-bye.